You're listening to A Roundabout. Now we have the next episode in our Operation Song series, produced by WTC's Richard Winham. In this series, songwriters help veterans, and this episode is about Jerry Harris. Harris was drafted into the Army when he was 19 years old in 1968. Within a few months, he was in Vietnam. From the moment he left the plane, he was traumatized. Almost immediately, he began developing an alter ego, a separate identity he called Old Jerry. He spent the rest of the year he was in Vietnam sublimating his emotions. It's only in the past decade that he's been able to talk about his experience in the war. He has 100% PTSD, a lifelong condition, but with the help of a UTC English professor, he began writing poetry. That, he said, was one step in the incremental process of healing. In the past year, he's begun writing songs with the Nashville songwriters Don Goodman and Steve Dean as part of the Operation Song program. Jerry Harris, a sensitive, articulate man, was part of the group of men who attended the first Operation Song sessions here in Chattanooga. As Don Goodman remembers it, he was a catalyst in their first meeting.
Jerry was the one who opened the whole door for Operation Song in Chattanooga, because that first day was six strangers sitting around a table with Bobby and Steve and I. Everyone was kind of looking down at their feet and not even making eye contact. And then Jerry asked me to read a poem that he had written. And when I read that poem, the tears started falling all around that table, and the ice was broken from that point on. When the guys started getting each other's backs, and when Jerry told his story, it didn't hit Steve and I as, you know, driving everything. It was just like, here's a young guy who just got off a plane in Vietnam, and he sees these guys coming at him, and they look like they're walking straight out of hell. They're coming out of combat. Jerry's going in.
Young Jerry got off the plane in Long Beach. The walking wounded were passing by him. They looked like they'd come straight out of hell. He never felt so all by himself. That's when he created me. The old Jerry he'd someday be.
How did you feel when you got those draft papers?
Well, when I got the draft papers, it was kind of the first time I went, I had to go take the physical. And then the first draft paper, there's like two of them, you know. And the second one, then when I got drafted, I guess I was kind of numb. I don't know.
We weren't ready for it, for sure, it. Right?
No, you're never ready for it. There was a lot of protesting going on at that time, and there was some negative vibes going on in the country about the protesting, about the war and stuff like that. But I was just a young man, and I was willing to go and fight for the country because that's the way it was supposed to be, you know? I thought that was the right thing to do, and I still think that today.
Can I take you back to when you got off the plane? So you're looking at these guys. In retrospect, I guess you were looking at yourself. Huh?
I was. Didn't know it then, but I do now, you know. I get off the plane all the time, and I look at different things. It's like I can see the faces. And that was just a short time that this happened, you know. All of that sticks in your head. And I do live between then and now. We all do.
What were you thinking when you got off that plane? What was your mindset? Were you excited? Were you glad to be there in some sense? Or because you had that sense of duty and you were ready to start whatever they expect you to do?
Well, before I even got there, I was thinking, well, what if the plane went down? I wouldn't even have to go there, you know? I mean, all this stuff goes in your mind. I took a flight from Fort Dix, New Jersey, all the way to Vietnam without getting off the airplane. And we flew across the continent of the USA, flew to Hawaii, and then to Guam, and then to Vietnam. So I was looking about 20 hours in a plane in a seat. So you can imagine all the things that I was thinking on the way over there. They didn't put attractive waitresses on the airplane.
No distractions at all, probably, right?
It was crazy.
So you're stuck in this thing for 20 hours. Did they let you get off it at all? Did they stop for refueling or anything?
Oh, we didn't. They stopped for refueling, but we couldn't get off. When I got off the airplane and saw those people walking back through the passing me to get on the airplane, like the walking wounded, you know, you could, at the time, I didn't know what to say or call it, but, you know, it was PTSD they had. It's like they had become a different person. And that's what happened to me. That's when I created the old Jerry. I had to make a decision then. If I go into that same situation that they're in, what would I do? How would I handle that? And I was preparing myself for that. I was physically fit because I was a bodybuilder when I went. But that doesn't mean anything. I mean, anybody can get hit with a round. But I became strong, you know, about that, just like anybody else would, you know. And it's just called survival tactics, you know. And I wanted to be quick when I was moving around, and I thought that had something to do with survival more as much as anything. And that's what I did. So when I went to the jungle, that's what happened. It's considered, when you go there, the new people, they didn't want to be around the new people because it was like a bad omen. If you get around somebody fresh out there, they're usually the ones that gets killed or whatever, and the other people, they wouldn't get around you. And you get sunburn, get water blisters, you get all kinds of things that happen to you in the first few days that it's a lot of problems.
Jerry told us a story about the monkey tree. Do you want to tell that story, Jerry?
Well, there's actually several stories, but I keep reverting back to the monkey tree. To fill you in on it, we had dozers, and we had an NDP that would set up, it's called a night defense perimeter. And then we'd go out in the day and cut. We might go five or six clicks away. We had D7s and D9s. And I was a mechanic, and I had to keep the equipment, you know, in line all the time when we're out in the cut. The cut is called cutting the land down, you know.
So you're cutting trails?
Yes, from one village to another, so the people would have a safer way to go because of the enemy. And one day I was coming and clearing, there's a monkey tree there, and this guy came by on a dozer. And sometimes the dozers, even as strong and powerful they are, they can't push the trees down because the earth is loose around it, you know. But they're called plows. The Rome plow blade is actually made in Rome, Georgia. It comes out to a point. It's got like a stinger on it. So you can sting the tree and sort of rip it a little bit at a time. Sting it right in the gut and keep doing it until you get it ripped enough to where you can push it over. Well, this tree had a bunch of monkeys in it. And of course, you know, you got different emotions when you're out there. You're either sad or angry, or you're ready to, you know, just destroy anything in your way. Because that was our motto, was search and destroy with the dozers. And this guy started doing that to the tree, and I was thinking, at the time, it didn't bother me when a tree fell. But shortly after, all of these emotions come into my head. You know, this tree had been living there safely for about 100 years. It's probably 100 years old. Had no care of anything. Didn't have to worry about anything in its life. And would never even think that. But then it happened. The dozer took it down. And that's when, you know, all the monkeys are like, you know, some survived, some died. There was babies and all that stuff. And I can see it in slow motion, you know, their eyes and how it affected them and stuff like that. So, you know, you compare that with people too, you know, same thing.
It seems like it functions as a metaphor for you for the whole experience. Huh?
Right. Everything was about quickness there. I had to think with my body and not my mind. The jungle is always moving all the time. You can almost see the land growing. It was pretty amazing. But we destroyed it too. That's what we did. Search and destroy. We went looking for the enemy.
So that was contrary to everything you'd grown up doing. You don't destroy living things, you tend them and nurture them.
Right.
Everything is about destruction. and nobody's talking to you. You're isolated.
Right.
The destruction is happening to you personally, right? You're getting all these blisters and all the other things that are affecting
even,
you.
Well, even the equipment I work on, we're talking about 125 degrees. We never had water. We had Coke and beer at 125 degrees, and all it was foam. And I would have on just pants and boots and socks and no top. You know, after about a couple of weeks, then my body adjusted to the sun hitting it. And the tracks on the dozers, you know, they become shiny just like a silver spoon. And out in that 125 degrees, I would have to climb up on that and work on that. And the tools I carried were the same temperature. Plus the heat of the engine takes it on up to around 200 degrees. When people are out in a cut, cutting a jungle, you could see when snakes would fall onto the dozers, they become fried. The snakes just fry against that engine and stuff. And the operators, sometimes they'd fall in there in the caged area they were, and they'd have to stop and get out, you know. I saw on average probably about 40 snakes a day because we was disturbing the land where they lived. But I had an emotional range, you know. You would be either bold or scared, or you'd go into the fetal position, you know, and then there was days that I thought, that I wouldn't make it through that day, you know.
And yeah, when you came back here, people expected you to be Jerry, just as you were when you left, right?
Exactly. And when I got back here, I went back into the workforce, and people would say, you know, what's wrong with you? I would say nothing. People who have PTSD, a lot of them are, they're loners. They don't socialize with people so much.
He got lucky and made it out somehow. Now we live somewhere between then and now. Sometimes I'm him, sometimes he's me. But only one of us has PTSD. Sometimes young Jerry turns out the light. And old Jerry lies here awake all night. He turned into me and made it out alive. And I'm still him in my dreams at night. He's 66 in the Tennessee hills. And I'm 21 scared to death of getting.
Once these songs are written, the songs themselves become therapy. Everybody out there who hears them go, wow, it's like you were telling my story, dude. And it's like, yeah, I guess we were, really. The guys all say, same story, different war. Yeah.
The Operation Song Sessions meet every Wednesday morning at 9:30 for 90 minutes in the Chattanooga Lifestyle Center on Market Street. Details on the program are on the website, operationsong.org. You can also contact Bobby Allison Standifer, one of the founders of the local program, at 706-935-3686. That's Bobby Allison Standifer, 706-935-3686. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.